This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
This episode of the Sportsman's Nation is brought to you by Outdoor Edge and their complete lineup of replaceable and fixed blade knives and game processing kits. Now, in my bag this year, I had the Razor Pro Saw Combo Kit. It comes in a very compact, handy carrying case, and one handle has the replaceable blade knife and the gutting blade. The other handle has the saw that comes with it. So I use the saw to split the pelvis, and I use the gut hook to open up the cavity and the blade to start cutting all the stuff out, right? So it makes cleaning a deer very simple, very easy, and the knife is sharp. And if you've ever had to gut a deer with a dull knife, we all know how much that sucks. So take a look at the Razor Pro Saw Combo Kit and head on over to OutdoorEdge.com and enter the discount code NATION30. That's NATION30 for 30% savings on your purchase.
Welcome to the Land and Legacy Podcast. We're your hosts, Adam Keith
and Matt Dye.
This is your number one resource for all things land.
If you're interested in conservation, habitat management, hunting strategy, and rural real estate, this is the podcast for you.
All right, guys, we got a good one for you. This on part two of this week, part one, however you're listening to it. This 282. So you want to be a land consultant?
Yeah, so, yeah, something title like that. There's so much interest. That is just gaining wheels or turning, I think, for a lot of people about this profession. So, yep. Which is cool. You know, we are extremely passionate about land management and how the natural world works. But there is a large push for a lot of people now seeing that, hey, there's career potentials or possibilities through this avenue. And it seems like, wow, that is something that I want to do. And I think before we jump totally into it, like, almost need to preface this, like, there's a lot of, I don't know, let's say fine lines through sharing this podcast. This is meant to just be let's say an open book as to, like, what we've done, where we've come from, what we plan on doing, and so some of the situations you may find yourself saying, oh, wow, really? Okay, that came across as unique. I wasn't expecting that, or whatever. We're not saying any of this at all to second guess people trying to get into the field at all. Our biggest mission and heart, I shouldn't say a biggest, but one of the our aspects of doing Land Legacy is to encourage and get more information and people out there doing management practices. At the same time, it has to be a call on your life, I think, to do it devotedly, passionately, moving forward at aggressive pace. So I think by prefacing that, things may seem a little like, let's say, pointed or whatnot. Don't read into that anything beyond. We're here to share a message of what's been successful for us and hopefully to set you on a path as well of success. It not if you just follow what we did kind of thing, but like keep these in check. Keep these things, consider them as you move forward.
Cause that's right.
We do get the question a lot.
We get it all too often. Yeah. For us not to have a podcast like this.
Totally.
That's where this podcast came from. It's just that we've gotten so many people reaching out, a lot of grad students or a lot of college-age students. I had a phone call last week or week before last from a guy that was wanting a job shadow or follow along on a consult.
Mm-hmm. Get that a lot.
You know, it's just a very common thing. And so
and we, first and foremost, too, appreciate all of that.
We're here to help. We're here to encourage. We're here to help you guys.
Heck, we give away free information every week. So we're here. We are here first and foremost to help. So we appreciate that outreaching, the questions, everything. And I think a lot of people who have responded or emailed in or sent in a message or something, they would say that was helpful. That helped me. In our response to them. So that's what this podcast is.
I'll say to some of the people that have reached out and maybe I responded to them like, and it was a little bit like, I didn't mean to discourage you or I didn't mean to send you a response that you weren't expecting. Like, so I want to do wildlife management. No, you don't. do this. Or if, you know, I don't have any trade secrets. I'm an open book. And I think that's one of my biggest flaws is I say stuff before I really think about the long-term benefit or the long-term problems with that statement. But I've had a couple people reach out, and I'm like, are you sure you don't want to do forestry? Like, forestry would be a pretty good one. Yeah. Or are you sure you don't want to do this because you're in this region? If you're wanting to stay in this region, you're better off doing this rather than going full-fledged just wildlife management. Because, you know, I want what's best for every single person that listens to this podcast, reaches out, and frankly, everyone in general.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And wildlife, like you can't tell me that there's not a hunter out there who's not passionate about wildlife and wildlife management. Like that's everyone's passionate about this topic and wants to probably know more. So, you know, the field or the educational side, there's more colleges, there's more schools out there offering programs such as this because they can take your money because, right, there's a lot of interest there.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that there's the amount of jobs that reflect that interest.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And so it is very difficult sometimes to get jobs because a lot of times people are lifers, let's say, from the public sector, whether it's federal or state jobs. It sometimes is just difficult to get yourself into the system until people start retiring and then working their way up, right? So they hire from within and this and that. You got to start from the bottom, work your way up.
Or,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But you need to know that going ahead.
And so, like, a lot of people that are in that are like-minded like us, that the dream is to have a farm, to live on a farm.
Right.
And it's like if you're planning on starting out and trying to build that up and you're going into the public sector or the government sector where you may have to wait out retirement or people that are going to retire, it may take you a long time to get there to where you can have that salary that can then buy that farm. So
if the salary is there period. Like, I mean, that's another thing that often comes up with jobs pertaining to wildlife, and that's why sometimes the suggestion may be, have you considered forestry? Have you considered agricultural, where you're still working with the natural world, but it's not just wildlife focused? Because, quite frankly, a lot of the public sector jobs, they don't pay very much at all.
Yeah.
And you're needing a not only a bachelor's but now master's to even be considered. That's mm-hmm. 6 years worth of college in most cases to be making $45,000 a year.
Yeah. You're gonna have you could have a lot of student loan debt going into a job that 10 years from now is still not making a lot of money.
Yeah.
If you know it could be enough for you. Shoot, I've survived on way less than that.
Yeah.
If your goals are, I want to own a land, or I want to own a farm, I want to have a big family, I want to do these things, then you have to kind of weigh out, okay, which one, you know, is this really a better career choice, or would I be better off doing this as a hobby and getting to my farm and my big family quicker, but working somewhere else.
Absolutely. So, obviously, money certainly is not everything, and you guys will hear that throughout this podcast from us and where we kind of come from, and the origins and beginnings of Land and Legacy. But I think it is important to go back to like the start, because that laid a foundation for us as to basically how we were going to operate as a company. And how we were going to move forward and make decisions in tough situations, and like what started it? I mean, that is a big question, I think, for a lot of people. And I think just in a short term thing, this started very late 2016, but really 2017.
Yeah,
and we were We didn't have an option.
There was no plan. It's time to see what God has in store for us.
We had other positions, and through tons and tons of prayer, God said, "That door is closing, guys. I need you to do something different."
I'm not sure. You know, you think about how God communicates, and our whole business is. Because of God. Everything is because of God. He created everything. The heavens, the earth, everything. The hairs, the gray hairs, the white hairs in my beard he created.
I see it over there. Santa Claus.
My wife was like, she said something, because this is the first time I've ever not shaved. I've always had either, you know, a little bit of stubble.
Yeah. Right.
But I've never let it grow out for very long. And so I did. Because why not? COVID. Of all the years, might as well.
COVID beard.
And so I grew it out, and then I said, "Hey, have you seen, is there white hair in my," and she goes, "Yeah, there's some." And I was like, "How did this happen?"
I have three that grow on this side of my chin.
Mine's right there, and I pulled them, and they were just as white as snow. But
I know.
So this whole thing was started because of following God's will, even though we totally had no idea what it was. We had no idea what he had planned for us. We didn't know. Somebody asked me just last week, what did you ever anticipate Land and Legacy to be, to have the brand that it has now, like, or be working, you know, the work schedule that it has now? Not a chance.
No, I'd be
foolish to say that I did.
We were hopeful that it would, but starting out, it was difficult. I mean, we were in a position where we stepped away from what a lot of people would say was a dream job.
Oh, yeah.
And to go into this unknown of that's not working anymore. But still at that point, though, when that stopped, we didn't know what we were doing.
Not a clue.
And so
not
that,
a clue. The days and the weeks to follow was like,
we gotta do something here, man.
How do we get to this? Like, what are we gonna go? You know, I had a couple. You're not even from this area that we live now,
no.
So it was like a lot of my contacts are going, okay, who do we know that would hire us to do this? And frankly, like, we had ideas of this and this and this, but consulting really wasn't one of them. It was an idea, you know. Maybe we'll do that. Pick up a few jobs, make some side cash. But really, it was just like, I don't know what God has planned.
It was a total faith move. And I think one of the things that will probably be a reoccurring theme through this podcast is it is scarier to know that God's calling you to do something, and even though it's a fearful step to take because you don't know what the future looks like, it is more fearful to not do it, knowing it's God's will in your life or it's God's calling at that time to do something and you ignore it.
For sure.
And so basically,
I think when we started this, there was a lot of guys that asked, like, well, that's kind of scary to leave. And I'm like, yeah, but it's scary. It's more scary to not act on what God has called us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I'll dive into the dark knowing that God's called me to do that rather than stand in the light going, I don't know if I'm supposed to be here.
Stay in the light, but like stay in a place that just feels more comfortable.
Yeah.
Potentially.
I don't
from securities of jobs and money and insurance, all the things of life that adults deal with, right?
Contentment kills a lot of Christian growth.
Totally.
And the idea that, you know, I don't like the uncomfortable. I like my comfort zone. I like my bubble. And frankly, you know, you said something about God kind of closing the door or whatever. It got to a point where I'm pretty sure he just slammed the door on us.
He said, boys, wake up.
He's like, I've been telling you, come on.
Yep.
I've got something planned for you. Let's go do it. And
But still, there was no revealing ahead of time before we had to take steps of faith.
That's right.
And do that. And it wasn't like, hey, boom, snap of a fingers. This is what you're doing. It was weeks. It was developing.
Yep.
It was working. It was talking. And more importantly, though, it was whether, you know, you and your family, us together, me and my family, praying through,
yep,
what do we do next, Lord? Like, please yep, paint a picture of something so that we can move forward. But essentially, we got to the point of, hey, there's some interest here in consulting. We can do some things and then begin to domino that,
yeah,
that impact, right?
Yep.
But we had distractions along the way, too.
Well, I think you back up to December of 2016 where our families, and when you say our families, it was my wife and myself and my parents, and then you and your
fiancé, who's married at that point,
my wife's sister, and your parents were all gathered praying, mm-hmm, about direction, wisdom, and overall just peace at the whole transition. And when we went to church one Sunday morning, our pastor preached a sermon where he said, for some of you in this room today, you're in a situation where you feel like God is calling you to do something, and you're asking God to say, give me some vision, give me some signs to know
very
of where I'm going.
Signs.
When, as he said, maybe this is the situation where God is saying, I need you to show the faith. Maybe it's a tiny little step, but you need to take a step, and then I'll start to reveal what I have planned. And I remember hearing that going, okay.
I think we texted or talked over lunch that Sunday.
Next day we left our position. And the next Wednesday night, so 3 days later, we went to Wednesday night prayer meeting. And he said, following up Sunday's sermon, and I'm going to say that for those of you that took that step, that faithful step, now let's get to where God has, this is what you can expect from God. And it was like the most, that week was probably the most God has revealed and moved and
let's
shown
say,
just very direct through people, through conversation of other people for me that I've ever experienced. And so when he said that, our pastor, it was like, oh.
Who, by the way, has no idea who we are.
No.
Like, we go to a very large church, so it's not like that they
he had any idea of what our situation was.
Or still knows anything about Land Legacy.
No.
But still, it was just the way God and the Holy Spirit work through the Bible and teaches things that are relevant in today's world. We're sitting there thinking, holy crap, this is right here, right now, directly talking to us, impacting us, and guiding us as what to do steps in our lives.
Absolutely. And so that, you know, we left, started Land and Legacy, and at that point it was really
I don't know. I guess that week, Atlanta Legacy wasn't even really a name. It was kind of like, well, let's figure this out.
A name came in the weeks to follow through brainstorms and just that continued, like, here's if we were going to build a brand, here's what it would we would want to encompass as like this long-term brainstorm. And I remember sitting in here in this house just talking. It's like, well, I'd like to see this. I'd like to see that happen. And it's funny now going back like through the course of time, a lot of those first, like, let's say the brainchild of what it was we wanted to create or God placed in our heart to create. It's like over the course of several years, we've seen some of these things just begin to, wow, that took place.
Yeah.
Wow, that took place. Where in those moments, we are so distant from those things ever even happening. We're like, how the heck do we get there? Like,
oh yeah,
we're really not. I like have this just amazing or born with an entrepreneurial spirit to just like conquer and have all these businesses. Like that wasn't really necessarily a thought in my head of like, I'm just going to be a business owner one day. It was like, well, another thing that certainly have come to know that God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And
that's
it's
right.
Like, well, you weren't born necessarily with the driving passion to be a business owner, but here we are.
Well, that's something people might not know this, but you and I are not, we're very different in our personalities from different ways we go through life. Like you're conservative, very detail oriented, very much like analyze and move in a certain way. When I'm very much a blow through things, we'll figure it out as we get there, big picture, can't sit down, can't focus on anything to move from this step to the next step unless I want to. And it's very hard for me
listen to me talk about a step.
And do that. But it works well because it makes sure that
it's complementary.
Yeah, because ideas can go through and be accomplished with both of us, but not necessarily one without the other.
Right.
And you know, they don't probably hear that through the podcast each week, that they probably think that we're both about the same, but we're totally different in that that element. And when I was 12 years old, I had the idea or started to have God put it on my heart that the outdoors was some way that I was going to connect with people through some sort of work, whether it be my career, whether it be my job, or whether it be a hobby on the side.
Yeah.
But I felt that for me, I had a really good dad, or I have a really good dad. I have a really good grandpa. I had a really good men in my life to help pour into me when I was in the outdoors. And we're in a broken world. There's a lot of people that struggle, and there's a lot of people that don't have that. They have a father wound, as one of our favorite pastors preaches on a lot. And so I think a lot of people can connect with the outdoors to God. Are all of our father.
Without a doubt.
And I think a lot of times we miss that. And so I was always feeling that calling of going, at some point, outdoor work will likely be something that I do.
Absolutely.
And I don't know how God has that planned, but I've felt that pull since I was 12 years old.
If you will, I think of it as like a funnel. Like at 12, I would say I was saying that same time frame, 12 to 14, of man, I just want to do this. Like, I've figured out that, like, long-term educational, like, there's opportunities there to do wildlife-oriented things. That sounds amazing. Like,
well,
that's
me,
what I want to do.
12 was when I realized professional baseball wasn't going to work.
I'm not growing. This isn't working.
I'm scrawny. I can't gain weight.
I can't hit 60 on a fastball. So, yeah. So, it's like, that was like, let's say, okay, here's this wildlife outdoor world. And then as time went on, you kind of step further and further into the funnel, and then that funnel just necked down, and now we're in positions where I feel 100%, this is where God has directed my whole life. But we had to experience other things in this wildlife type outdoor realm to be able to put us here and be here. And now it is tunnel vision.
Yeah. Well, we kind of had to walk through the fire to get there.
Many. Yeah, your own fires, my own fires, and
together
fires together. Absolutely.
Absolutely. It was not an easy path, and it's still not an easy path.
And I don't want to paint.
But it's a path that God has put us on.
Yeah.
So it's the best place in the life to be.
Yeah. And that's the, I think a lot of people's like, you know, you guys talk about, you know, following God's, you know, will in your life, but like there are fires along the way. Absolutely. There's learning, and some of those fires maybe we put ourselves in by not following God's will, but like the Christian life and the walk and whatnot is never going to be easy. There's tons of things that just as a human that we're going to face.
Yeah.
And regardless, like we have gone through those fires and are here, but right. Situated, I think, exactly where we need to be, because of whether it's educational experiences, just experiences in life. But I have no doubt in my mind that me as an individual, then me knowing you and what you've expressed to me, but this is what I was born to do.
Like,
yeah. God's allowed me to understand how the natural world works. And then bottled it up into meeting you and said, together, you guys are going to accomplish this. But that was not, when I was in college, never would I have thought that I was going to move away from Virginia, my family. Never did I think I was going to be a resident of the Midwest for my life.
God's country.
And I was just like, you know, it's just going to take you down different paths and different roads. But those fires that we just kind of mentioned are 100% real.
Yeah.
And like the first year of Land Legacy.
First 2 years.
Yeah.
It was tough.
Gosh, it was tough. I mean, we were
not to get ahead of ourselves and because those first initial months were really crucial into understanding what was going to happen.
Yeah.
It is, you know, we're very unconventional because we're a land management business, but I'm an ag animal science major. You're not even a wildlife management major.
I have a biology degree and a concentration in wildlife management, not a wildlife.
Neither
management
one of us have
degree.
Masters in
nope.
in wildlife management. Neither one of us went to big universities that are
nope.
are known for incredible wildlife management or specific species management.
You look at us and let's say maybe a resume, and you're like, how in the world are they doing that?
On paper, I would be, you'd look at my GPA, you'd look at my experience, and you say this guy's worked for, you know, he's worked in the outdoors, he's got a lot of experience.
There's a lot of resumes, you stack it up.
But it definitely looks unmotivated in the classroom.
Right, right.
And I'd say, okay, cool.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah. So what else do you want to know about me?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a great guy.
Yeah. I did my passionate. 4 and I got out of there and I never went back.
That was me. I did my 4 years and I said, there's no way I'm doing a master's program. I got to start working. Like, I've just got to start doing stuff that I was called to do.
Just said the word that I'll toe the line and say, put me up against anybody in this room or anybody on your interview panel or anybody in your job. If you know, Lana Legacy folded up and we had to go find other jobs, I would be like, you will not find somebody more passionate about the natural world and understanding it than me right here.
Right.
And if you find somebody, bring them. I'd like to meet them and we'll have a conversation.
Well, and we'll get into that whole passion and purpose here in a little bit, but it is like there's on paper probably people out there who would say are more qualified to maybe do what it is we do, but the point is that might not be their path.
No.
They might be burning with passion, but that's not the path that God said you need to be on. I want you to fulfill. And so there is a fine line, I think, between being passionate and following through with what God is saying to do in your life.
Absolutely.
But I guess back to like the kind of starting years. Woo! Thank goodness. Soon after we started, I was married, and But thanks to my wife and your wife, for the first year and a half, 2 years, if they weren't working or had incomes,
oh, it would have been tough. We'd have been doing something else. Atlanta Legacy would not be with us today.
Well, the first, I think it was the first probably 2 months. Yeah. What did we do?
Oh, this is my favorite part of the story.
What did we do?
Thank goodness for Scotch-Irish heritage right here. and if you know, over in the Eastern United States, there's a good
the pastor who married us, his trailer.
And his trailer. That's right.
With the broken light.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we almost got a ticket.
Yeah. I got pulled over there that one day.
So,
talk my way out of that one.
He was probably like, these guys are broke. When we started, it was like, well, we got to pay the bills. The bills don't stop coming. That's the thing. Yeah. When any career you start, the bills don't stop.
As an adult, you have living expenses.
There's a
whether it's food or it doesn't matter.
There's a lot of people out there that have brilliant ideas or extremely great work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And the combination of those, whether they probably have a really good work ethic and they have a really great idea, but the constant bills coming in every month prevent them from acting on that. They don't have enough time to pull away from their job to then go and do this other idea to then launch. Fortunately for us, God had things worked out to where we managed. He's not a God who I feel like he never leaves you empty or leaves you needing. He gives you, and sometimes he gives you more than you can imagine, but in other times he gives you just what you need.
Just what you need.
Because during those times of just what you need, you get to learn how to rely on him.
You get to exercise faith in a way that you never knew you thought you could before when you had opportunities that were abounding, right?
It's easier for people to pray when they're in the valley than when they're on the mountain.
Yeah. Pray fervently.
And so for us, you know, when I said that about Scotch-Irish heritage, it's because we didn't have consults booked because we weren't even advertising. We didn't have a podcast at this point.
No.
We had just basically said, okay.
I think I had maybe listened to a single podcast in my life. No, yeah. we had recorded or we had been guests on podcasts before, but
that's right.
Beyond that, that was our only experience really in a podcast world.
For sure.
Right, we didn't have work lined up, let's just say.
No. And nobody even really knew what we were doing. And so it was like we were in our homes going waving at the neighbors, "Hey, you want to hire me?" Whatever.
Twiddling thumbs and
so what we did was we went to my family farm and we borrowed a trailer because my family farm we don't have a need for that, so we don't have a trailer down there. And so we borrowed a trailer from my pastor and the pastor that married you and Emily, and we started hauling off junk scrap metal because thankfully scrap metal prices were pretty good at that point. And we would load up a trailer and drive to the nearby town and take it to a scrap yard, make about $100 or $200, and then we would go back and haul it out. And we'd do three or four of those a day.
Pulling junk.
Pull them out of ravines and ditches and old parts. I mean, got our tetanus shots. And
we said, wow, that's got some weight to it. Throw it on the trailer.
Yeah.
And literally, we did. I think we did that like throughout a week to 2 weeks, we did that. It was like, well, we just got to do it, but it gave us time to talk and think and,
brainstorm
more things. And it was like, okay, God, this seems like a low point. This seems like, but
I'm in
again,
the fire right now.
Yeah, thank goodness for those times to be able to start, let's say, very humbly, the origins of it. And so, okay. That carries us into starting to get a little bit of business.
We went to ATA.
Yeah.
And we met one of our key clients and gained a couple other key clients. Mm-hmm. And during that process of being there, we were like, okay, we got some work. So thankfully, we're not hauling scrap. Scrap metal piles are running pretty low on the farm, so we're going to have to get some other work lined up. And we had a couple of people in our lives that were great mentors during this time that were in the realm of the outdoor world that had had called a couple of people to hire us. And so we started, that was actually one of the contracts where we cut some cedar on a mm-hmm. local client's mm-hmm. farm. And it made us, I don't know about you, but it made me go, I don't know if contracting is really what I want to do. Oh. I want to do more consulting because contracting's not so great on my back.
Like, yeah. Yeah, there was a lot. Again, a lot of those lessons that I think are have made us, let's say, successful today were learned in difficult, extreme ways. And definitely one of those was the contracting side of things.
Totally. It, you know, there's a lot of contracting businesses out there that follow mm-hmm. government mm-hmm. cost share programs mm-hmm. or government contracts or roadway contracts. Like, you've got the skid steer, so you're going to do not only private landowner stuff, but also roadway maintenance or median clearing, things like that.
Yep.
Which is great business if you sure. can find it. But
if you have the work.
If you have the work. But for us, one of the key things that really helped us avoid mistakes or avoid the bank knocking was we never took a loan.
No.
So this business started, unlike a lot of businesses out there, is we never took a loan to pay our salary or to buy equipment or to do anything to lateral us into more work.
I think someone would say, well, how in the world did you do that? And I think it goes back to knowing the call on our life and knowing that the work was going to come. Sometimes it would be, you know, a while in between, but we knew that God was going to supply mm-hmm. and that if we continue to reinvest in what he said he was going to supply for us, that it would work out. And so there was a lot of faith in doing that. Sure, we could have gotten super distracted and gone the route of, well, in the meantime, I'm going to get a tractor and I'm going to start hauling around and planting food plots and doing some clearing and pond work with a small skid steer and whatnot. But like, we knew that wasn't what was in store for us.
Yeah.
And we didn't go that route. We did not take out any loans, just kept reinvesting into what was, let's say, promised or what we felt was the call to continue to do.
And during that time, it's very hard to bring in $2,000, let's say, and know that, okay, you know, we're a 50-50 partnership, so you're going to make half, I'm going to make half, but we also need to buy this.
We need to go, you know, gas money to the next one. So, like, yeah, you make some money, but, like, just as any other business, you
like
have expenses.
Like buying podcast gear. Oh, that's $400. Okay, so that $2,000 we made this month is cut down to $1,600. Oh, $800 this month. That doesn't pay much.
So, babe, how'd you do this month?
And my wife was a school teacher, and your wife was going to school at
going
the same time?
Going to school and was a waitress.
And a waitress. So yep. A waitress and a school teacher.
Yep.
It sounds like a country song.
Two bums.
Three wooden crosses. A waitress and a school teacher and two deadbeats.
Two deadbeats.
Living on a dream.
Living on prayer.
Actually, we were living on prayer.
We're living on prayer.
And so, you know, that the first year we made less than $20,000 each. Mm-hmm. And so it's very difficult to live off that, especially. Fortunately, we didn't have kids at that point because I'm not sure it would have worked. With the amount of diapers that I'm going through right now, I don't know if it would have worked. And so, God's timing, although sometimes doesn't make any sense to us when we're in it. Looking back, hindsight's 2020. God's timing is always just miraculous,
impeccable.
And so, it's just like, oh man, I'm glad you didn't give that to me. I'm glad you didn't give that to me years ago when I wasn't responsible enough to handle that or manage that.
Yeah.
And so I think about it a lot of like, whew, we didn't make much money, but it sure taught us the importance of prioritizing where money should be spent or not spent.
Totally.
And the best way that we can advertise that doesn't cost us a lot of money.
What was going to yield our results?
One of the big things, I mean, maybe this is a secret, maybe it's not a secret, but you don't see us spend a lot of time in the world of social media today. We make a couple of posts a week or try to make a post a day, but you don't see a lot of advertisements from us because we don't play the game pay to play. We do podcasting. We do word of mouth. A big part of our business is word of mouth.
Do a good job at what you should be doing, And if you're doing the good job, additional work will follow. And
that's right.
So whether it's through referrals or people contacting through the podcast, that's what we do.
And I think we really focus early on about, as a young tree, trying to grow our roots mm-hmm. rather than try to be flashy and be out there and go, you know, we attempted videos right out of the gate. Like we searched partnerships. That was a big thing that we learned. Frankly, I learned a lot of it because of my wife of going, I just, when I look at your guys' business, I never say, yeah, they're going to have a bunch of sponsors, a bunch of products to push. They're going to do things differently. And she's like, I've never thought it was a good idea for you guys to chase a bunch of partners because I feel like you've got a different message because you speak so much about landscapes and native plants that it's hard to sell the stuff and the message that you guys are doing from a standpoint of products.
Yeah, well, yeah, just it doesn't line up, but again, tell a young company who's hungry and needs to try and make money.
Well,
are you going to turn something down? Are you not going to do that route? Because what outdoor brand really does not have
anywhere in the outdoor industry is
sponsor.
Yeah.
And so that was a lesson learned, right? Hey, our brand isn't this. It doesn't embody this, but we're spending time trying to make it. We tried to put a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work, where now we look at things from a very organic
way.
And
we have partners now.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had partners then.
Yep.
We had partners early on, but ultimately we didn't really try to make that our focus. Our focus was the education and to really just continue to find landowners. And that's how we make our salary. We don't make it from sponsors.
No.
Because I'm afraid that if we made our salary from sponsors, we'd be at the mercy of...
Our message and education would not be the same as it is now.
Yeah, for sure. You know what's funny, too, is when we left in December, or we started our business in December of 2016, really got going in 2017, there was still deer season left. And I remember sitting in a ground blind or a soft-sided blind on a cut cornfield on Prairie Hollow property now. And we had a really nice bachelor group come out. Do you remember that? We were set up. I remember.
Chad was there.
It was cold. Yeah, we were all three in the blind. It was kind of one of those days where it's like, I need to get out and I need to think.
Yep.
And I remember sitting there with the cameras that we had, which was my Nikon D810
mm-hmm. yep.
with prime lenses.
Oh, yeah.
We did not have zoom lens. We were running off prime. We were trying to still do some stuff. And I remember, so when we started, my wife and I had bought a house at some point that spring, I believe it was. And I had sold, because of sponsor conflicts with our previous work, I had sold a lot of my stuff just to get rid of it because I didn't see any use for it in the foreseeable future. And when God kind of said, this is what I have planned for you, it was like, uh-oh, I got rid of all my stuff.
Ruh-roh.
And I sat in that blind that night, and I remember like piecing together. I wouldn't even have, I had like camo top and bottom, but everything else was random clothes mm-hmm. because I had sold all of my stuff. I had one pair of boots that was hunting boots. I had a bow, but I had like...
I just
bare
remember,
bones, stripped, yeah. almost stripped completely naked with
the days
with my
of layering,
gear. And it was just like, okay, this is unfortunate.
Yeah.
This is not fun. I don't have hardly anything. I don't have a backpack. I don't have any of this stuff. And I remember just like trying to piece everything together moving forward. And now I look back, and I mean, this was a couple falls ago. We started getting decked out and actually feeling like we had our gear or had a really good set of gear to work in and hunt in. Again.
Thank you, First Light.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And for so we and it gave us the point to, during those years of no sponsors, no products, to really find what we liked and then run with it.
Yeah.
And our buddy Clay Newcomb, he mm-hmm. when I asked him, I was like, hey, what's the go-to stuff? And he goes, I love First Light. I think it's some of the best stuff out there. And he introduced us, and then off to the races. Now we're running First Light.
Yep.
And we used it for a while. We're like, this is amazing. And then it took us a year and a half before we even agreed to any kind of contract with them because we wanted to make sure we liked it first. So that's just another little tidbit. It's like those first couple of falls, it's just miserable of going, I don't have the gear I want. I don't have the money to afford it.
Yep.
I feel like I'm in college again where it's like,
you know, I'm playing the wish game because I get online and I look at all this stuff and I can't afford it. So I'll just think about it one day.
I guess, you know, getting back to like the consulting side of things and where we are at now as a company, there was a lot of from day one of God saying, hey, I've got something in store for you, to now constant and consistent prayer for God, continue to direct me, continue to you know, show me what that will is in your life. And I think living that out from a daily prayer, if you continue to pursue that very fervently, then there's clarity in the mission. And there's obviously blessings to come because you're living out what it is that God wants to use you for in your life. And so fast forward several years, now we're here by obviously the grace of God and through hard work. But there was a lot of sacrifice. So I heard this message on a podcast recently, and it was a very well-known speaker, leader, and essentially he was had an interview, and some guy came up to him and said, man, I want to do what you do. I want to be a motivational speaker and a leader in my community like you're a leader here. And the guy looked up at it and said, respectfully, very respectfully, and said, great, you want to do what I do, but do you want to do what I did?
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, great point. And again, this is kind of where that kind of made that disclaimer early on the podcast saying, don't take this the wrong way, but like, if you're out there and you're trying to listen and you're passionate about wildlife and pursuing a career in wildlife, what I would say, knowing what we know, is make sure that that's calling of your life, that that's what God wants you to do and how he wants to use you, because his purpose, his plan is going to be far greater than what you can imagine you doing out there on your own. And there, again, is a ton of people who are very passionate about wildlife and conservation. But I think if you want to make it a full-time, or if you're planning on making a full-time career, make sure that's what God wants to do. Make sure those things line up. Because if not, then you're fighting.
Yeah.
Like, and that's not a great way to choose to live. And there's lots of avenues out there. Another I guess point to be made is, just because you may not do something for a full-time career doesn't mean that you can't make an impact. Let's say you choose to do I honestly look at a lot of our clients. They're not in the field of wildlife. They're in the field of medicine, law, business ownership, whatever, but in their community, they're still having a very large impact,
yeah,
through wildlife and conservation and wise and land management, because they're leaders in their community.
Yeah.
Again, you can be so passionate about this, which they are, but they still are making an impact. They're not choosing to do that on a daily basis, but those people who are passionate, you know, I just want to.
As a young man, I used to believe that God, the way I interpreted it with my upbringing, was that God was going to tell you or call you to do something. And basically, if you didn't do that, you were living outside of his will. When now I believe that God just calls us to be disciples. He calls us to spread his word, the gospel about Jesus Christ, regardless of what we do in life, whether we're a teacher, a school bus driver, a janitor, or a cattle farmer, that whatever we're doing, we're going to glorify him.
The relationships that you make, however you do.
And some of our listeners may not even be Christians.
Yeah.
But this is brought to you because of God's grace.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to hear this story to understand that as we move forward, you're probably going to hear more and more about our faith as we try to be even more bold in what we do.
And that's to say that this business has grown because I think that the greater calling on our life is to bring awareness of God's creation to listeners and to hunters and outdoorsmen and people who want to raise families in the outdoors. Is there are so many connections and ways that illustrations, let's say, that God has placed from the natural world that we can use in our lives. And I think our greater call is to build clientele, build a business to where we can share that message, build an audience.
Even more
and to a greater scale. And that's where we're going.
What we feel like is that God has not only helped us to find clients and be hired by landowners across the country, but now as we move forward in a different approach to help people understand God's creation even more. And so that may be a more grassroots approach or it may be a big scale, but either way, you're going to see us working with land, hopefully more acres, more landowners trying to improve the landscape, but also understand that it's God's natural world, and we're here to caretake for it for however long we're going to be on this earth. Whether it's another day, another 2 weeks, or 20 more years, we're just going to do our due diligence and try to follow His will. And so, you know, for me, thinking about that, it's like as we move forward, you know, we're very passionate about this. We've just been consumed with passion about landscape. And I think that didn't happen. That wasn't the case 5 years ago. I wasn't thinking about natives like I am now 5 years ago. It was more just game species.
Game oriented rather
than land.
And
now it's just big picture. And so, you know, and fortunately, though, through walking in the fire, that we kind of learned that passion or found that passion even more. And then realize that this is currently God's purpose for us. Not saying that 2 years from now God's not going to call us to do something else, because that's a very good possibility.
Yep.
He may decide, okay, podcast is over, and a year from now you don't hear from us again on the podcast. We don't know. We're just going to try to follow His will. But at that same point, we've got passion and we got God's purpose. Combine those, and that's why you probably hear just full-fledged direction spewing out of us each and every week, because we've got passion and God's purpose. And I think if you're one of those people that get a hobby that you're very passionate about to also be something that God's pushed behind you to give you that purpose, you should be almost...
You should be at the end of that funnel.
Just be diving head first into the ocean full of sharks, not even questioning, because it's just like, I'm doing this and I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
And you get to do it, and then you'll realize that you can try to figure it out, but God's already figured it out for you, and He'll direct your path and allow things to happen.
Gone before and laid the foundation if you're living through His will. And that's the most powerful thing. And I guess, you know, rounding this thing out is essentially you want to be successful in becoming a wildlife biologist, a wildlife manager, a consultant. I would say that there's certainly ways to do it outside of the way that we have done it.
For sure.
But I don't, it would be a scary field to get into without knowing that this is what God has placed on your heart and wants you
or
to do.
Ever praying about it,
just
doing something without prayer.
Right.
I look at our list and some of the things we didn't mention, but following God's will and following through prayer and taking leaps of faith still led to a pretty scary road for a few years.
Oh, man, yeah.
Could you imagine? Yeah, I don't ever even want to get to the point where I just like blindly let's do something and never pray about it.
Yeah.
Because that's even more terrifying.
And like every decision that we make one of the things that we're going to be releasing in the coming weeks that we're going to be offering in 2021 is something that we've prayed through.
Yeah.
Like when we went into real estate, we prayed about that with our families. And, you know, every little step and situation, we've just realized that, hey, God led us here. If we want to do something else, we need to pray about it, because He's either going to say, or we're going to get a feeling, we're going to listen and say, that's something we want to do, we should do, or it's not. And guess what? That's okay. But that's literally how we make decisions. It just would be scary knowing how many land and wildlife management companies get started that may not have that foundation. There's passion, but there's not foundation from God's will pursuing that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that other people don't. We don't know anybody's situation. This isn't directed at anybody at all whatsoever. But it's one of those things that if we can give advice and career advice, it is essentially pray through it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's right. And so many times, like, for us, it was like, what are we going to do? Well, let's pray about it. Let's get the families together and let's pray about it. And let's just make sure that we kind of – that we prayed about it and that we've all kind of, I guess – feel the peace moving forward, and nobody's right. going, okay, I don't like this. I don't like it. We made that mistake early on.
We did.
And our wives will tell us to this day that that was a mistake.
That would be the only way they come on the podcast is to tell everybody else what we did wrong.
For sure. For sure.
Absolutely. I love them, but man, that's the truth.
And that's something I'm probably pretty different about our business than some of I know talking to some of our clients, and they probably look at us. They look at I know they've looked at us like we're crazy because I've told them that, and they've looked at me like I'm crazy. Is that when we make a decision, it's not you and I vote on it and say let's
right,
do it.
Right.
It's you and I and our wives.
And
for our don't know if it was for good judgment or not, but they have a say in everything we do.
Yeah, and I will say this: they don't know the first thing about land management. So again, if we're going and using other people, obviously, who are important in our lives to help make decisions, and they don't know the first thing about, a tree beyond the fact that it's an oak, that obviously God's laying something on their heart. And we want to know that. We want that input on our business and our lives, because at the end of the day, it is our livelihood. It is what supports our families. And if we don't have that blessing moving forward, man, that's a scary, scary thing. So I think that a lot of people for me, wrapping things up is in a career situation, if you want success, if you want to be follow a passion or live in peace, pray through it, and let God lead it.
For sure. I think as I close out, I think one of the big things that moving forward, 2021, there's a lot of guys, a lot of people that are probably, you know, we're in a divided country right now. Not to get political, I swear I'll be done with this in a second. But I think there's never been a greater time in our lives, our listeners' lives, to run to the woods, run to the outdoors, and find God there, find His peace there, and find His creation all around us. Because you can't find it in your home, or you kind of can, but I don't believe that you can find God's presence any greater than going into His natural creation and just standing there, arms spread wide, exhaling, saying, I'm ready to listen. Just help me. Whatever you're needing, I find Him more just overwhelming when I'm in the outdoors.
A closeness, for sure.
In quiet.
I feel like those people who are listening to the podcast, one, you're listening to this for a reason, for a purpose, but you're also listening to this because you are passionate about it. So if you're passionate about it, God has placed that passion in your life, and that's a place that you can certainly go and meet with Him, and that's outside in creation. And don't just leave that for yourself. Bring your family. But if you are passionate, that's a way that God can certainly reach you, and you can commune and talk, and certainly pray, and He is going to be close and certainly listening.
For sure.
And that's a powerful thing.
Hey, guys, if you enjoyed it, thank you. Shoot us a message. If you got any questions as we move forward into habitat season even more, guys are going to be edge feathering if you listen to the other podcast this week. Creating bedding thickets. Tag us on social media.
Please
tag
do.
Us on and all the things you're doing. We love to see that stuff. It encourages us to continue doing this every single week. So, guys, we thank you so much. We'll catch you next week.
See ya.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries.
For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.